Welcome back to another podcast. My name is Colby Shinaki, and in this episode, we're going to be discussing that this life isn't actually about us at all. It's all about God. If this is your first time, I'm glad that you're here, and thank you so much for listening. On this podcast, I have one very clear goal, and that's to equip you and to encourage you into stepping into God's purpose for your life. Also, if you would subscribe, rate, and leave a review on this podcast, it would really help me out a ton into getting this message to reach as many people as possible. Let's go check out today's message. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God, and God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light, he was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who was the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world did not recognize him. He came to his own people and even they rejected him. But to all who believed and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They were reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but by the birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us, and he was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one that I was talking about when I said, 'Someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me.'" And that's where we're going to stop. I think we make this life out to be more about us than we should. Like, we all have that one part of our life that we know we're good at something, so we want to show it off a little bit. It's stupid, but we have that one thing in our head that we can justify that it's okay to get cocky about. But my problem is that I like to get people all excited like I'm about to do something cool. And then when I'm about to do it, I feel like God steps in and he likes to humble me. And so to this day, there's a story about my cockiness that haunts me from 4 years ago. Okay, here's the setup to the story. The thing in my life that I think that I'm good at is athletics. I love sports. I can't talk sports and I don't know all the players' names and stuff like that, but I do know the rules of the games and that's all that matters. I believe that I'm an athletic person and that God has gifted me in that area, so I don't know any other way to begin this story other than the fact that I screwed up. See, my family and I competed in arguably one of the most intense sporting events ever, an adult kickball league. It was my brother, my dad, my aunt, my uncle, and some other people that we knew, and we named ourselves the Foot Clan. And I tell you what, if you looked at our team, it looks stacked. Mainly because of my uncle, not the one from the last episode. This uncle stands 6'7" tall. He's super competitive and he crushes any sport that he plays. The only thing I have going for this team is that I'm quick. I like to think I'm like the Roadrunner from Wile E. Coyote because I know I'm fast, but I have skinny legs. That's all I got. This is the story of the very first game that we played that season. We show up to the kickball field and we looked menacing with our matching uniforms. But we get into the field and we start setting up our positions for that game and setting up the lineup for our kick order for our team, which had to go in guy-girl order. But we start the game and it's probably the most intense game we played the entire season. The entire game, each teams are taking turns scoring, it's going back and forth, and we get to the dreadful final inning that haunts me to this day. We get to the end of the game and we are tied by the end of the ninth inning and we have to go overtime. And we are kicking and we go and two of us get out. We have one more out left. We can't mess this up if we want to win. So it's my turn to kick. And I'll admit my faults. I thought in my head that this is my team. I'm leading this team to victory. No one could catch up to me. I'm too quick. So I had in my head this strategy that if I kick the ball low to the ground, no one's going to be able to catch it. And that gives me enough time to get to first base. And it worked. Actually, I got to second base. But I'm standing there at second, and it's time for this girl to come kick. And here's the thing. This girl wasn't the best kicker, nor was she that fast. But she goes up and she kicks the ball, and to my surprise, it wasn't a bad kick. So she runs to first base at the same time that I run to third, and I cut left, and I start to run home. This was it. The game in my head was already won. I am getting this point for the team. And so I turn around and I start dancing and I start gloating and I'm pointing back at the third baseman in just sheer pride and showing off. And this is where the issue was at. The girl that kicked the ball didn't stop at first base when she should have. Like, she didn't have to run. She should have just stayed there and we would have won the game. I would have gotten the point, but she didn't. She ran, and before I could stop showing off and showboating and touch the home plate to get the point, she got out right before she touched second base. And so the story goes on that we lost the game because I thought it was about me. I thought I was the all-star. I thought I was going to be the one to lead this team to victory. So I was humbled real quick. And that goes in the book as one of the stupider moments of my life. And the worst part is that my uncle, being super competitive, still holds it over me this day. It's been 4 years and he still hangs it over me, but that's what I get for showing off. And it makes me wonder how many times God has tried to do something in my life that pointed back to him, but I was so keen and focused on people looking at me that my pride got in the way and something that God wanted to do to show off, I ended up missing out on. Because here's the thing. God wants to show off. I think God's eager to. I think he's sitting on the edge of his seat in heaven saying, come on, give me a chance. I want to show you who I am. I want to show you what I can do. I want to show you that I'm on your team, that I'm for you. I want to show myself to others through you. But he can't do that when we think and we believe that this life that we live is about us. God wants to use you. I think that if you and I were to have a conversation about the Bible, you would find out very quickly that I'm an Old Testament guy. I love looking back to the OT, to read about these guys with massive faith, and to see the stories of God doing things that are unimaginable. I love it because littered throughout the entire Old Testament is just stories of God showing off for his people. I look at these stories, reading and seeing the walls of Jericho fall after the Israelites walked around the stronghold 7 times. They didn't do much. But God's making the point that he's the one that knocks down the strongholds. You can keep reading and you can see 3 men get thrown into a fiery furnace that was turned up 7 times hotter than normal. So hot that it burned up the men that were throwing them inside. And then we can see that these 3 men are dancing in the furnace with God. And I can just see God laughing and saying, hey, Nebi, your 90-foot-tall statue might be big, but I am way bigger. Or if you want to backtrack a little bit, you can go to the book of 2 Kings and you can see a prophet named Elisha whose eyes were opened in a battle because he was getting a little worried and he saw a mountain full of the invisible army of God, filled with horses and chariots of fire surrounding the Syrian army that came up against them and they were wiped out. And I can just see God saying, you don't mess with the people that are on my team. I just love the stories that are in the Old Testament. They get me so excited. But then we get to this point where the story starts to shift and the Old Testament stories come to an end. And we're going to skip 3 books, which is okay because they all tell the same story. And we find ourselves in John chapter 1. And the book begins talking about the beginning, the Old Testament. But right here in the very first paragraph, John wants you to know that God himself, the one that did all of the stuff that we read about back in the OT, is about to put on human skin and step onto the earth. But that's not the part that I want to focus on. The Bible goes on to talk about a man named John the Baptist, totally different than the guy writing the book of John, in case you were wondering. This is a man who has been baptizing people in the wilderness for some time now, pointing to Jesus. And these are the words that he says in verse 15, and they stuck out to me so much. He said, shouting to crowds, this is the one that I was talking about. He is the one who is greater than me. And that hit me so hard as I was reading it because that's us. That is our role. That is our purpose. Where did I get off thinking that this was about me? That this was my show? That I was the all-star? It's not about me and it has never been about me. My life purpose shouldn't ever be about drawing attention to myself, because if I'm the thing people are putting their hope in, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but you're going to be let down. But what I can do is if you're going to put your attention on me, I can point you to the one who it's really all about, the one who is perfect and without flaw, the one who will never let you down, the one who has the power to break the curse of sin and death off of your life. Because here's the beautiful part. You are the object of his obsession. He is so eagerly waiting for you to step out of the spotlight so that he can step into it and show off his glory and who he is to you. Because our purpose in life is never to be the all-stars of our own show, but it's about pointing everything back to him.